Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and psychic medium Sherry. The show is about to begin. Well, good evening, everyone, and once again, thanks for taking the time to tune in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I am Jason Ophir, as usual, joined by the talented and beautiful psychic medium, Sherry. Hello, Sherry. We are live, and we got a fantastic guest this evening.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
Living the dream, one day at a time, still alive. How about yourself?
Just busy with treatments, and I'm just, you know, taking care of these dogs as a full-time and just enjoying the fall weather. Fall is so beautiful. A lot of trees, and it's just beautiful. That's what's been happening to me.
Yeah, and I don't have a lot to report. I'm still trying to sell my house, but the housing market is absolute trash, so I'm not getting a lot of activity. So I'm kind of stuck where I'm at, and we'll have to remain employed and just hopefully my house will sell and I'll be able to get out of this crazy town we call Portland.
I hope so, Jason. It's just probably not a good time for you to move right now.
Probably
so
not.
So tonight we have a special guest. Actually, we have a returning guest, and I'm just going to let Jason introduce him because I'm always the one that's introducing him. But returning guest and a beautiful soul who's a personal friend, and I'm going to be on his show in a few days myself. So Jason, go ahead and do their introduction.
Well, you are the best introducer, but we have returning once again Clyde Lewis, host of Ground Zero and many other things. He's a great individual, and he's always welcome on our show. It's a lot of great information and a very popular person as well. So I would like to welcome Clyde Lewis back, and we're just going to talk about whatever. So I'm going to bring him on right now.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hey.
I am currently trying to warm up. It's hot. It's too cold in this area. I'm freezing.
It is getting
it
a little
is
bit
cold.
Chilly.
Yeah, I mean, the wind's blowing, kind of cold, so I have to put the kettle on, have a good talk with you guys, and it's going to be fun.
Well, it's been a while since we've had you on. I want to say a couple years, maybe? Sherry, how long has it been?
That's what it feels like, between COVID and everything going on. We took a break. I've been on tour. It's just been crazy, so it's good to have Clyde back.
Probably been a year.
Has it been a year?
I've been on in a year. I usually come on around this time of year.
Well, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to come on. You're a very, very popular guy out there and a true radio professional. We're just a couple of amateurs here, but thanks for taking the time to come on, and we'll talk about just whatever. We kind of do things on the fly here. We kind of just skip around and talk about whatever's on our minds. But in the past year or two, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been certainly working on my show, and it's been difficult to, you know, try and do a bunch of things, especially when you want to get out, you want to hunt ghosts or you want to do something like that, but you can't because of COVID. And I've kind of aged in the last 3 years, so I don't know if I'm able to even go into those deep, dark caves anymore, but, you know, there are a lot of people who are begging me to still do it, but in the meantime, I'm kind of taking it easy and focusing on my writing, focusing on the shows that I've been doing, especially this year. We're really, I think, pulling out all the stops with some of the scary shows we're doing for Halloween. It's very scary out in the real world, so you have to find a way to be scarier on the radio, and I think we've succeeded, actually. People have been writing. We have a subscription site called aftermath.media where you can subscribe to some of our some of our archives, and people have been writing me saying that they've been really chilled by our Halloween shows, and we like to scare people on the air. I'm not corny when it comes to scaring. I have to really get creative, because it's funny, what scares us, the older people, doesn't necessarily scare the younger people, and so I want to be able to be a universal frightener, if you will. That's what I try to do every Halloween.
Are those like true stories, like actual scary stories?
They have to be. They're scarier if they are true. I just did a show about the Van Meter visitor, which is this strange creature that was seen in Van Meter, Iowa. It had wings and it had a beak and it had all kinds of crazy stuff, and people were afraid of it. And it kind of reminded me of Mothman, a lot of the flying demons that are out there, just something that can swoop down and take you in your sleep is just something that always terrifies me. So that idea is kind of there. It's really scary.
How many accounts were there? How many reported accounts of those experiences or seeing that type of cryptoid?
Well, this goes back, I mean, this is some history, you know, it's historical. That's one of the things I do love, is not just, you know, the paranormal, but also the history of paranormal. So you go back to the 1900s, where, you know, these things are first seen. And, of course, Mothman was 1968, I think, or 1966. And you go all the way back to 1903 for some of the characters I'm talking about. Like, I was talking about the Van Meter visitor, but I'm now going to be talking about the Lady in Black, which was 1902, and that's Roanoke, Virginia, that she was seen walking the streets of Roanoke.
Oh, wow.
Suspecting it's like an apparition or like a ghost lady?
I think that a lot of the time, and I can't remember who was talking about this. I think it was Chad Lewis. We had him on the program when we were talking about manifestations through a lot of thought processes. But a lot of the time when we're dealing with something that, I mean, it's not extraterrestrial and it's not demonic, but it's something that's ultra-terrestrial. And so ultra-terrestrial means that every once in a while the dimensions kind of overlap on each other. And when they do, we get these creatures that we've never seen before. Kind of like, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Mist, where those strange creatures came out of the mist and they didn't know what they were. It's the same thing with this, that perhaps the Van Meter visitor was a dragon of some kind, because he was described as being large with wings, and he had a horn on his forehead that had a light that protruded out of it. And so he was able to, you know, look down on people and shine a light down on them from the head. And that's something that is just bizarre. I mean, Mothman was in that way, but Mothman had eyes that would blink bright red, like car lights. And so you have this creature that has these red lights or red eyes looking at you in the night. And it's just this huge ball of hair and wings, and it's standing there, you know, screeching at you at the top of its lungs. It sounds like a train and its brakes, you know, when a train does its brakes. That's how it sounds when you hear the screech of this creature. And the same thing went for the Van Meter visitor. They said it sounded like metal screeching against metal when these things would scream. And apparently they were released through a mine shaft that came out from the bottom of the earth. And there was one, and then there was a baby one, I guess. And so they both had to find a lure them back into the mine, and then they had to blow up the mine to keep them from coming out.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's a terrifying story. I mean, these stories are, you know, they're in newspapers. So that's one of the reasons why, you know, I was interested in them, is I was seeing clips from old newspapers talking about this. And I saw the same thing for the Lady in Black. And I'm going to have a woman on called, her last name's Lavender. And she's coming on the program to talk about Santa Muerte, which is the dark lady, or the Lady Death, worshipped by a lot of Latinos. But I bumped into another story that I'm kind of hesitant to talk about on the air, but I'm going to do it anyway because I think it's a terrifying story. Apparently there was a guy, his name was Buster Al Ackerman, and he lived in Portland, and he was a writer. He was like a subversive writer. And he wrote to a guy named Genesis P. Orridge, who is now, or uses they pronouns. So they wrote to Genesis P. Orridge, who is the singer of Throbbing Gristle, which is a band that was pretty underground avant-garde in the 1980s, saying that he and a guy, I think his name was Screw Loose, I can't remember his last name, they called him Screw Loose, apparently they were medical attendants, and that they had to watch over a woman they called the Hamburger Lady. And the Hamburger Lady, the reason why they called her that was because she had been burned in an automobile accident, and so they compared her to seared meatloaf, and that she had all these tubes coming out of her body, and she had these tubes coming out of her body, and that you know, she couldn't get more than 3 minutes or 5 minutes of sleep without waking up being in total pain and screaming and writhing. And so this band called Throbbing Gristle wrote this song called Hamburger Lady. It's on their album called DOA. And the song Hamburger Lady isn't really a song. It's just the sounds of all these weird things being done. And then you hear them chanting, Hamburger Lady, Hamburger Lady. And it's supposed to be a cursed song. So when you play that over and over again, you start seeing the manifestation of Hamburger Lady in your house or your window or under your bed. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to play it on the radio and see if anybody sees Hamburger Lady.
That is perfect. That, you know, I've run across cursed movies, and I've been too afraid to watch them because just in case they're like true curses. Yeah, that'll definitely get people.
Like The Exorcist is a cursed movie. People watch it all the time, so. I just got through watching a very interesting, I guess you could call it an anthology. It's called The Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix, and it's pretty creepy. It's done on a modernized version of Edgar Allan Poe. I'm a big fan of Edgar Allan Poe, but they do everything from The Raven to Gold Bug to, you know, Mask of the Red Death, and they modernize all these stories, and they're pretty damn good. They did The Black Cat was scary. I remember the first time I ever saw The Black Cat was with Bela Lugosi in 1938, the movie The Black Cat, and that was Bela Lugosi, some really classic Bela Lugosi. In fact, it's funny, Janine, my wife, gave me a Bela Lugosi a card print of all of the movie cards that he had been in, and then his signature. So I have a signature of Bela Lugosi that's authenticated that I just found today that was really amazing. So, I mean, I was... when I was a kid, I was raised in this stuff. You know, I was a big fan of Forrest J. Ackerman, who wrote Famous Monsters of Filmland. And I had a chance, opportunity to visit him in his Acker Mansion there in California. And I also had him come to Utah, where he and I, we hosted the Evil Dead movies. And then he got up and told everybody all these stories about him and Boris Karloff and Vincent Price and all these famous horror actors. And he was talking about, you know, Bela Lugosi and all these other people, Lon Chaney Jr. And people were just so into what he was saying that we finished at 4 o'clock in the morning. We didn't know it was going that long. He was telling these stories about all of these famous monster actors. And so it's always been an inspiration for me to try and come up with something that would be scary or at least, you know, fun, scare. And in fact, you know, we actually, Sherry knows that this Wednesday she's going to be on my program, and we're going to talk to Dr. Heldor, which is a character that came off of a Ouija board. And so that's going to be a little scary for people. But people demand it. They want to hear from Dr. Heldor because Dr. Heldor makes predictions that come true.
Are there any predictions we should be aware of, like World War III or asteroid hitting the planet?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you, when Sherry was with us, first of all, Dr. Heldor revealed that she was a she, and Dr. Heldor also said that we would be seeing nothing but blood war, and I don't know if I can say the S word, but she said blood war and S, you know, and she said that we'll be at one time inhaling or smelling the burning of the nuclear flesh, and a few other things that she was talking about. She also said, watch your P's and Q's. And what she meant by that was watch your presidents, popes, and queens. They're going to die. And the queen died about 8 months after she made the prediction. The pope was in dire straits. They said he had something wrong with him. But now we have President Biden and Putin is supposed to be very sick. So she just says watch your P's and Q's, meaning your presidents and your queens and your popes. And so that's what she explained. She explained that, you know, you need to watch them because something's going to happen with them. I don't know what she's going to say this time now that we're at war, but, you know, it always ends up being fascinating. And so, you know, we have to wait and see what she says. But last time she said a lot of things that have come true. She said that we've been doing this 3 years, and I remember before the election, they asked if Donald Trump would be president. She said no, that it would be Joe Biden, and that he wouldn't last in the presidency, that he would end up dying while president. So we'll see what that happens with that. So kind of scary stuff.
Well, I hope that we don't – I mean, I've been concerned about what's going on in the world, and it seems like things are getting worse, and I just feel like we're on a downward spiral to some sort of apocalypse. Something's going to happen soon, so it wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of interesting things that, you know, can be predicted, and she seems to be pretty accurate. I ought to go over my old notes and figure out what she's been accurate about, because a lot of people – if they're not paying attention, they don't know what's going on in the world. And if they don't pay attention to every little bit of our shows that we do, it tends to be, you know, people tend to think, you know, not everybody gets 3 hours of ground zero in their various markets. So it's very difficult for us to, you know, it takes us 3 hours to do one show, and people are only getting an hour, or they're getting a delayed hour, so they don't necessarily get the full effect. And that's why we urge people to subscribe to aftermath.media so they can get the full effect of the show.
Yeah, I'm one of those people, because when I was working somewhere else at night, I would listen to your show on the way home in my car.
So oh,
I never
cool.
got the full gist of everything. So that's great that there's another place that could be listened to.
I mean, Ground Zero, you know, was meant to be a 3 hour long form show. It's never meant to be an hour or, you know, take 1 hour out of the mix. No, because you're not going to get the whole thing. And, you know, taking me out of context is something people like to do, because they want to, you know, they want to make me out to sound kooky or weird. I am kooky and weird, but I'm not kooky and weird without a purpose. And that's the whole point of the show. I mean, it is a show based on good research, and it's based on, you know, a lot of, you know, esoteric paranormal conditioning in it, which makes it even more interesting. I mean, anyone can report the news, but can you report it from a paranormal angle? Not many can. I have that knowledge because I've been studying it my whole life. But that's the whole point, right? Synchronicity and things that are, you know, odd about the world. The world is a very odd place. It's even more odder when you're playing with fire. So,
is Ground Zero still on like the airwaves, the FM airwaves?
Not on FM, no. We're on 860 AM in Portland right now. There's some areas of the country where we're on FM stations, yeah, but, I mean, it's few and far between. We're on AM mostly. But, yeah, we got moved to AM 860. We're no longer on 101. So,
how many stations are broadcasting? Because back in the day, it was hundreds, wasn't it? I mean, it was nationally syndicated.
Yeah, we had 200 back in the day. We're kind of down to about 175, 125 now, because when we made our move from KXL, we wound up having a lot of technical issues, because we're independent, and so when you're independent and somebody pulls the rug out from underneath you, you scramble to make sure that everything comes together. And we had a lot of things that were, you know, to our advantage. We had there was a podcast studio that was available that they decided to let us use. It was up and coming in the business. And it was funny, after we left, they buckled, they went away. So obviously they were there, that was there for us, and we used it. We were glad that we were able to use it, but then some of the transmissions were garbled as we were going over the satellite, and we were having other problems. But, you know, that's thousands of dollars to perfect that stuff, and we didn't even have that much in our budget. We were, you know, slowly buying equipment and all kinds of things in the process. So we're lucky that we managed to, you know, hang on to as many stations as we had. Plus, there's a lot of politics going on in radio right now where, like, for example, a network will come in and say, you know, why are you paying Clyde Lewis when you could be playing George Norrie at Coast to Coast AM? And, you know, you can play his reruns and people will listen to his reruns, and you play him, his live show, and people listen to that. I don't know why anybody in their right mind would listen to reruns of George. I think George Live is the best way to listen to him. But just the idea of playing reruns of George Norrie and thinking that's going to be better than listening to, you know, 3 hours of me, I don't know where they think that's going to be good or not.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, there's nothing. Live is the best. The best stuff happens live. There's all the unexpectedness of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you listen to reruns of George, and you're thinking, well, if you're a George fan, you know, you're listening to George repeating himself, and that's why, you know, we try not to, you know, do too many repeats in our presentations, because, you know, I like to be progressive in my shows. I like to do shows that back up other shows. That's the point of the broadcast, is that we want to find new and interesting things that can make you think, that may scare you, or they may, you know, make you feel kind of uncomfortable or weird. That's the whole point of the show, is that it's a, it's based as a night paranormal show. And we take all kinds of things from the regular news to, you know, other things, and we blend it together to make it sound like an 80s horror film. And that's exactly our point. We're entertainment, we're infotainment, we're paranormal entertainment. We try to not get into political fights. If we get into anything, we get into religious topics sometimes, because religion is paranormal as well. You know, there are a lot of things we do. Just the other night, we had Bob Larson on to talk about exorcisms, and we actually had some of his exorcisms played live on the air, and some of them were really creepy sounding. We heard the demons in people, and, you know, creepy stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. If you listen back to the show.
Was it pretty authentic to you, seriously?
Oh, they sounded authentic. Yeah, there was one. There's one in particular that sounded really authentic to me, and that was the one called "A Girl Named Rebecca Being Exorcised," and she said that she was possessed by the keeper. And there's just this sound that's coming out of her that I don't know how it can be made. It's just a really creepy sound.
Oh wow! Can you imagine that, Jason?
Well, can you imagine that? There's very few things that scare me in this world, one of which are volcanoes and tornadoes and being possessed, demons. I'm not a believer of demons, but I'm also not an idiot either, so I'm not going to sit and play around with the Ouija board, because I could very well be wrong. But that does scare me. You know, this I mean,
Jerry,
I guess there's a lot of...
Jerry's going to be in a room with me when I'm using a Ouija board on that.
Oh.
Was it Wednesday?
Aren't you lucky, Sherry?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, she's going to be my scribe. She's going to write down what the Ouija board says.
What's your stance on like, I mean, I assume you're a believer of demonic activity, or are you not?
I believe that there are powers, yes, but I think a lot of the powers that happen or perform in front of us come out of us. I think that we are a very powerful, humans are very powerful in a sense that, you know, I think all of us are telekinetic in a certain way. I think we all have some sort of a telekinetic power inside of us that we don't necessarily use, but every once in a while it happens. You know, every once in a while you get second sight. Every once in a while you get intuition. Every once in a while your awareness is heightened. Because the body and the brain can conjure up all kinds of things, and it's the law of attraction. You know, you bring things to you. The very thing that would be called the truth comes from within you, doesn't come from without you. So you have to be a participant in this, and that's the whole point, is that, like Ouija boards, for example, I don't necessarily believe that they're being guided by demons. I think what it is that when you do a Ouija board, it taps into a part of your subconscious mind that you don't know existed. And so things come out of you when your subconscious is opened up. It's like hypnotism. You know, when they hypnotize you, you go into a subconscious state where anything can come out of you by the power of suggestion. I think the same thing happens with Ouija boards. If you really concentrate on it and you believe it's going to give you a message, it'll give you a message. And it may not be a message that you're comfortable with, but it may be it's coming out of those who are touching the board. It's not coming out of a demon. It's coming out of you. And if you have demons in you, then yes, the demons are going to speak through you. That's how it goes. You become a transmitter for the outer layer.
I pretty much have always come to the conclusion in all my years in the paranormal that very similar to what you're saying. I believe that we manifest it. Like, if you believe it, if you're doing things such as Ouija board, divination, that you're basically manifesting it into your reality, because there's evidence to show that we do have, you know, at least on a subatomic level, we're able to manipulate the physical environment around us. So I kind of same thing, kind of like, yeah, if you believe it and you're in that right frame of mind, then yeah, you can manifest it.
I mean, if we didn't believe it, we wouldn't be praying. That's the whole point of prayer, right? Your prayer is supposed to be going outside of you into the ether, and the ether is supposed to grant you a miracle. That's the whole point, is that whether it's good or bad, manifestation is a miracle. I think people need to remember that even bad things can be miracles. What I mean by that is a negative experience that you have with the paranormal, a negative experience with the supernatural. They're all miracles. If you see a ghost, that's a miracle. If you see a UFO, that's a miracle. If you are abducted by aliens, that's a miracle. Now, they may not be good things. I mean, look, getting taken up into a UFO and probed by, little grays is not a fun thing. But it's a miracle because you, out of billions of people, are having this experience. Even finding the one you love is a miracle. You figure, what, you find somebody that you fall in love with, or you're in love with, or you remain in love with, that's a 1 in 7 billion chance. I don't know if you think about it in that respect, but it is. It's 1 in 7 billion. So, and they say, well, there's plenty of people, that you can love. But that's still billions of people in a billion to one shot. It's like winning the lottery. It's like, lightning strikes. That's why a lot of people who get depressed and say, I'll never find anybody. Well, you will. It's just you're never in the right place at the right time, or you're never out or venturing out or knocking doors or making comments or whatever. I mean, if you just sit in a corner and do nothing, you're not going to have anything happen. You have to take initiative. So if you want to see the paranormal, you have to go out with the ghost hunters and you'll find it. If you want to find out what's going on in the ether, you can find a way to do it. And you have to basically disrobe yourself of all the dogma that makes you think that you're going to go to hell for even exploring in these realms. I mean, that's the whole thing, is people, they tend to allow themselves to go into some sort of an acute psychosis over the whole thing. But in reality, if you keep a level head and you understand that all things, you invite light into your life, that light will protect you, because that's the armor that God gave you. And so people who are afraid of, gathering information from the ether, it's like, well, if you're strong enough, then you'll be able to do whatever. And I just don't think that, I don't think kids should be messing with Ouija boards. I don't think kids should be messing with pendulums. I don't think kids should be messing with tarot cards. I don't think anybody should be messing with any of that stuff unless they know what it is, how to make it work, and what to do with it. Otherwise, you're going to get it. It's like playing with a loaded gun. Unless you know how to use a gun, don't touch a gun. And even if you know how to use a gun, don't touch a gun when you're unhappy. Don't touch a gun when you're depressed. Don't touch a gun when you're drunk. Don't touch a gun when you're drugged. And that's what they say about Ouija boards. Don't use a Ouija board if you're upset. Don't use a Ouija board in a place where there's trauma. Don't use a Ouija board when you're drugged or on drugs, or you're high. Don't use a Ouija board when you're drunk. Those are the rules, and people do it all the time. They'll play with it when they're drunk, and what happens? Bam, they get possessed or something. And that's the whole point, is that you look at the paranormal like you would a loaded gun. Now, if you don't want to get shot, then you'll be responsible. If you want to get shot, then you're going to, and it's not a toy.
And all three things you mentioned there, I played with as a child.
Right.
What do you think the Ouija boards? Like, what is it? What is it? Milton and Bradley? They're selling Ouija boards to kids. You remember that? It's a play.
Well, yeah.
Ouija
it's because of the fact that, at first when the Ouija board was, when it first was made, it was made during the times of the Civil War. And the reason why is because so many people were losing family members, and they were using the Ouija board to contact them. But the board, the only way Milton Bradley bought the board, and this is a true story, that what happened is that, Milton Bradley or whoever it was that had it at first, Parker Brothers, they were, the guy said, I know what Ouija boards are. They've been used since the turn of the century. They're nonsense, and there's no reason for us to market it as a game. And the guy said to the person that was selling him the idea of a Ouija board to be marketed, says, if you can tell me my name on the Ouija board, because they never knew each other's names, he says, if you can tell me my name by using the Ouija board, then I'll market it. And sure enough, the Ouija board spelled out his name, and he marketed it. And so, that's the thing, is that, I know it says that it's for I don't know if it's for kids, but they say it's for, you know, parties and young adults. But yeah, kids will play with it, and they're not supposed to touch it. I would never. If I found out my kids were using a Ouija board, I'd be furious. If I found out that somebody was at a seance or something and they were drunk or drinking. In fact, I had an experience once where that happened, where we were at a bar and we were doing an overnight negation of this place called the Rose and the Raindrop. It doesn't exist anymore. It used to be over there on Martin Luther King. But we went in there, we were doing an investigation, and we were going to find out what ghost was haunting. We were going to do a big seance. And what happens is a woman came in for the seance and she was drunk, and we didn't know she was drunk. She was also pregnant, and we didn't know it.
Wow.
And so this demon called Abisu took over the board and said it wanted to kill the woman's baby. We didn't know she was pregnant. We said, "You're pregnant, you're drunk. Get the fuck out of this. Oh, sorry. Get the hell out of here." And we were mad. We were so mad, and it's because, you know, you're going to call upon a demon if you mess around like that. You're going to bring a demon into the mix, and you don't want a demon into the mix if you're not playing by the rules. And that's it. There's rules that you have to live by. There are things you have to do to avoid these bad things. And all you hear about are the bad things. All you hear from people are, well, I played with a Ouija board once, and I swear to God, I saw devils. Well, it's because what you did was you messed with it in a way you asked the question. You should not ask a Ouija board when you're going to die. You should never ask a Ouija board when you're going to get married. It's just something you don't do. And people do it, and they get bad experiences because they it's like, oh, I played with one. Well, did you play with it? It's like a gun. Did you know how to use it? Well, no. Okay. And what happened? Oh, I don't know. I got it. Yeah. Well, you know, it's because you're stupid. You know, stupid people, you know, play stupid games, and guess what they get? Stupid prizes.
That is so true. I 100% agree with you, Clyde. 100% agree with you. Absolutely.
I agree with you, too.
I mean, it's like people, it's like, yeah. It's like what Sherry does. She's a healer. She does a lot of healing. But, you know, I trust her to be a healer. But if someone else came up to me and they said, hey, I'm healing you, and I don't know what their credentials are, hell, I'm not going to, I don't want them to touch me. They could screw me up. They could plant something in me. I wouldn't want that. Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%. I've had energy work done on me, and I got screwed up afterwards, you know, not knowing. It's very true. You never know who you, unless you trust that person, and, you know, you know for sure they know what they're doing. Don't have anybody near you, or let alone touch you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're on the subject of Ouija boards, and I dare say this name, but what do you know about the entity Zozo? I've been hearing a lot about that in the last several years.
Well, Zozo is kind of it's a name that has been around for a while. And it's basically, we get this from the Exorcist. Zozo is actually Pazuzu, and Zozo has been the name that people have picked up on over time, and I did a whole show, I think, on it one time, because I know that Zozo was actually the name that Robert Plant gave himself when he was in the band Led Zeppelin, and they all had different names, but yeah, Zozo is one of those you know, names that, you know, always shows up in a lot of talk about Ouija boards. And it's just, I don't know, it's just one of those things that shows up and there's no real explanation for it. And so, you know, a lot of people believe that Zozo is actually Satan. I don't know if he's Satan, but, you know, it's, I remember when Zozo in 2020, Zozo looked like 2020. The name Zozo looked like 2020. People were saying it was the year of Zozo. But back in the, what was it, in 1816, there was a book called The Infernal Dictionary by Colin D. Clancy. And there was a young girl who claimed to be possessed by three demons. It was Mimi, Capulet, and Zozo. It was the three demons that possessed this little girl. And the name Zozo is also a code for Saturn or Kronos, and that goes back the occult as far back as 1521 is a demon that many people have encountered during Ouija board sessions. 200 years, we've heard of Zozo for 200 years. Also, Atlas, Alice, Zozo. Zozo's an hourglass, like Kronos has an hourglass in its side. Like I say, you know, Zozo is like Saturn. Zozo is death. Zozo is the demon that confuses time and is the nightmare maker. Zozo makes nightmares in the dream world. So, yeah, that's basically what Zozo is as far as I know. But, you know, if somebody gets a message from Zozo, it's usually from Pazuzu, which is, of course, another winged demon that represents what we were saying earlier about the, what do you call it, the Van Meter visitor and Mothman, you know, a winged creature, dark winged creature that tends to show up during times of pestilence and destruction. And that's exactly what Zozo is.
Now, I've never told you this, Sherry, or I've never even mentioned this ever to anyone, but back in my younger years, I was into all the things, pendulum, tarot card, Ouija board, automatic writing. And my question is one word came up on the Ouija board and automatic writing, and I have no idea what it is. And I was curious if maybe you've heard of this before, but the one word was moon, M-O-O-N. Does that mean anything? Have you ever heard of that, the word moon coming up?
On a Ouija board?
On a Ouija board, automatic writing and stuff like that, back in my younger days when I was doing that sort of thing.
I don't know what moon means, really. I've never heard. I mean, there's actually a celestial sun and the moon on a Ouija board. They're stenciled on a Ouija board. I don't know if there's a moon, there's a celestial sun. There's stars, and the moon and the sun on the Ouija board how can I put this? It's the sun means gold and the moon means silver. So silver and gold, and we look at the spiritualism that is attributed to alchemy, separating substances into pure forms, like turning base lead into gold, but it's the idea that if you wear out the structures of matter, you can assemble into something else. So I think that's why there is the sun and the moon on the Ouija board. It's because it represents silver and gold. It represents alchemy.
I didn't even think of that, that the moon was on the Ouija board. It's been, I mean, this is like 35 years ago when I was doing that sort of thing. But it was just a word that kept coming up, and I have no idea why. I assumed it was an entity named Moon. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's, you know, the moon goddess, Diana, Ishtar. But, yeah, it's the silver moon and the gold sun. And that both can be alchemized into being either or. So you either follow the moon goddess or you follow the sun god, and those are the two differences on the board.
Interesting. Well, my Ouija board days are way behind me. I don't have any intent to ever pick one up again.
Yeah.
What do you think, Sherry? Are you ready to start Ouija boarding?
Well, it depends on who you're with, and it's all about the intent, you know. It's just really, I mean, you, like Clyde said, you don't want to be messing with that stuff when you're not, you know, when you're intoxicated or anything like that, and emotions are running high, or, you know, I'm running high meaning, you know, you're upset, bad, or anything like that. I mean, a Ouija board to me, it's a form of divination. It's like tarot cards. It's like pendulums. You got to have respect, and like you said, you got to know the rules and play nice. You don't want to open up the other side of the coin. You open up the Pandora's box.
Yeah, my favorite new cards are synchronicity cards. I don't know if you've seen them, but they're really awesome. I think they're better than tarot cards because they're more fun. You can pick one card and have somebody pick another card, and then you can match the symbols on the cards and see if they match. If they do, you find out what both symbols matching means. It's kind of an interesting way of looking at divination. It's kind of fun.
Cool. It is an oracle. It's like an oracle card, right?
Yeah. It's the synchronicity oracle is what it's called, and it's not a traditional tarot deck. It's a tarot deck where you're using symbols instead of numbers and symbols.
Boy, can you imagine the market on that? You guys, I mean, it's like you, there's a plethora of, you know, tarot cards and oracle cards. There's anything you can imagine, they're out there. Anything.
Right. I think tarot cards are rather awesome for their artwork. I'd like to collect them because I'd like to be able to collect good decks that, you know, have art on them, because I like the artwork on the tarot cards and the designs. I don't necessarily use them for divination. I use them just to say, look at this deck. Isn't it cool? You know, it's a cool deck. I think Ouija boards are art, too. I mean, you go to these ghost places, these ghost conventions, and they have Ouija board guys there that are doing artistic Ouija boards, you know. Or, you know, I saw a Star Trek Ouija board. I've seen other Ouija boards that are, you know, Dia de los Muertos. I bought one for my friend. It was a black Ouija board with skulls on it. It looked really good, ornate. And I said, this isn't the play with, this is the display. And so she displayed it in her home. It was a display Ouija board. I knew somebody that had a Ouija board that was made in the 1900s. And it actually had Egyptian hieroglyphs all over it. So it was kind of an Egyptian type of feel. And so there are different boards with different attitudes, different feelings, and different designs. We even have one somewhere of a board where it was allegedly made by a serial killer. And we don't use that board, so I just thought it was an interesting concept. You know, serial killer board. Kind of fun.
Do you think entities can attach themselves? Like, say I go to an antique shop and I find a 1800s board. I mean, is there risk in any of those antique boards? Could things attach themselves to them?
Yeah, I wouldn't use an antique board, I don't think. I mean, you're looking at a telephone switchboard that still has spirits on it. Unless it's cleansed. I mean, you can actually cleanse the board by saying, you know, put sage on it and, you know, and cleanse the board and, you know, do a bunch of things to make it so it's not toxic. But some people don't even think to do that. And so I'm sure these boards that they're selling that are really old have these old entities still stuck in them. Like, you know, on the same loop, you know, trying to call the same number all the time. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty creepy.
I feel, you know, this is me. I feel like just going to a thrift store or even a pawn shop, you know, you're just taking a risk because you don't know what type of, like you said, any attachments to it, whether it's mirrors, paintings, dolls, what have you.
Yeah, I mean, they tell you that if you buy tarot cards that you should wrap them in silk, or you should go to sleep with them under your pillow so they can get a feel for you. You know, that's all part of the, I guess, the ritual, if that's what you want to do. Same with a Ouija board. I think that if you buy one, it's got you all over it. It's most of what you got on it. If you're sharing with people, it's got them on it. So, and when I talked with Diablos Rex about Dr. Heldor, it was his opinion that Heldor was an egregore that jumped from the computer onto the board, that it's not an evil spirit, but it's a spirit that was created by the audience. And my audience created the Dr. Heldor. And that's why every year when we whip out the board, they don't want to talk to any spirit. They want to talk to Dr. Heldor. And so that's the whole thing, is that calling directly out to somebody that's familiar with, like Dr. Heldor, is probably, you know, a lot more healthy than, you know, just saying, who's out there? Talk to us, you know. But you have Dr. Heldor, you comment Dr. Heldor comes directly to you, then, you know, it's an egregore. The audience is expecting something. The audience hears what it wants to hear. And so it's a very effective entity, I think. And a lot of people may not realize, but we created that entity on our own. We manifested the entity. We manifested the name. We manifested, you know, the sex of the doctor first. I thought the doctor was male most of the time when I was doing this, but then she revealed her name was Isolde Heldor, or Isolde Heldor, S-I-S-O-L-D-E, Isolde Heldor, and I just thought, oh, so it's a woman, female. And so, you know, it builds, and I think it builds with the audience, and it builds with the intent. And, you know, regardless of it's, you know, it's Satan or something else, it's still building on the intent of the audience. And so the audience put into it, and Dr. Heldor performs and puts something out to the audience, and it's satisfactory. So, I mean, you know, it's a lucky thing that we had this egregore show up, because now it can be a show if we want it to be one. So.
What do you think, Jason? Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I try and stay out of all the divination nowadays. I don't know, it's a little too freaky for me. I've gotten soft, Sherry. I try not to indulge. I don't do paranormal investigations anymore. I just, you know, life has enough drama and stuff going on. I don't need to expose myself to, you know, entities or energies. Yeah. Ignorance is bliss. Because you never know.
I have. So I'm looking on Clyde's post. Hey, Clyde, what is it about the worm going into your chicken nuggets?
Oh, yeah. How about that worms going into chicken nuggets? Yeah, they decided they wanted to – was it Tyson wants to invest in bugs for your chicken nuggets? So you may be seeing some happy little grasshoppers or crickets in your chicken nuggets. They'll be yummy.
Ew.
Well, that's what they're doing. Yeah, they're going to peasant food. They want us to eat peasant food.
Yeah, the quality of food is not great, particularly fast food. It's killing us all.
Yeah. Fast food isn't fun anymore. I'm getting too old for that, too. There's no pleasure in eating it. It used to be, ooh, you know. I still think French fries have a place, but other than that, burgers suck anymore. You never get a good cheeseburger anymore from anyone. Maybe In-N-Out Burger, but they're clearing the hell out of town. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, there is. It's hard to get a good fast food burger. I'm trying to think who I think has the best. None of them are great. I still think
Carl's
McDonald's
Jr.,
has the
I
best
think
fries.
Has their best. Carl's Jr. all the way, I think. He's a real good burger. But still, though, I mean, it's like, there's nothing that you can say that really, you know, I crave this burger. Because whenever I, you know, when everybody says, well, what do you want to have for a hamburger? I always go double cheese, ketchup only, because I don't want anything else on my burger except ketchup. Ketchup and cheese. And it's the only way to eat it, right? Ketchup and cheese. So otherwise, you're going to screw it up with some sauce I don't like, or you're going to throw a pickle that I don't like the taste of, or.
Yeah, I hate pickles.
No.
Come on.
Yeah, yuck. It just throws everything off. Totally.
Yeah.
I had chicken McNuggets last night and a cheeseburger from McDonald's. Sherry, when was the last time you had fast food? I'm willing to bet that it has not been any time in the last decade.
Yeah, probably 6 months ago. But after reading certain things, I heard that there was Roundup, the glyphosate. There's they're in burgers
glyphosate.
And things. So it's like there's that glyphosate.
Glyphosate. Glyphosate.
Yes.
Glyphosate.
Yes. Yes. It's in Roundup. And it's they did some testing, and I read that there's a lot of them in different burgers.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
And then they got that Impossible Burger that's impossible to eat.
I heard that's even less healthy than a hamburger.
Oh, yeah, it is. I was reading that, they tried so hard to make it healthy. It's loaded with fungus and all kinds of other crap, so I don't know if I'd want to eat fungus.
Yeah, I remember seeing a thing on it, and it just went into depth why doing these impossible meats is actually worse than eating meat. It's something to do with the soy or something. And they're never going to make it taste like a good burger. I mean, I've tried it, and I was, yeah, it's okay, but it's just not. I'm a burger aficionado, and I don't think they're going to get there.
No. No way.
So, Clyde, I was going to ask you, when you had your guest, was it Bob Larson? Do you talk about the different stages of possession?
Well, he did. He was talking about how he likes to interview people. He doesn't go to immediately thinking that they're possessed. There could be other things involved because possession is not something, I mean, because exorcism is not something you just do. It's not a sport. So he, in fact, we invited people to come on the show that may be oppressed if they wanted to come on and do an exorcism on the air. And he didn't do it. He just interviewed them, talked with them, prayed for them. That's about it. But we played some of his other exorcisms he's done on this TV show, and they were pretty terrifying. But just the idea that I just don't think that, you know, it raises the respect level, too, because it's like if he was to say, okay, let's bring someone on to an exorcism, and they go, woo, if they get all scared and everything, or they sound weird, it would just sound really stupid. It would sound, you know, but no, he was very kind, and he was very understanding, and he said some prayers for people, and basically what it is. I mean, we're not there to, you know, even though it would be cool to hear something scary, we're not there to exploit the devil. We're just there to kill the devil or get the devil out of people. And so he didn't feel like they had, you know, they didn't sound like they had the criteria, you know, to do that. And, you know, that's just basically, I think that's a good thing. I'm glad that we didn't have it.
That would make fantastic radio, by the way. Having like a legit exorcism on the air. Wow, that's
scary.
Well,
we played some of them. I mean, some of them are like, if you go to aftermath.media and look up Demon Busters, and you'll listen to it, and some of them are really creepy. I mean, they're really creepy. Yeah. So, yeah, subscribe to aftermath.media. You'll pick up on all this stuff. It's just really creepy.
I've heard some before, and it really is, oh. It is terrifying. Just the different sounds. You're like, how is that person making that sound? Like, I couldn't make that sound if I tried. Like, it makes you wonder.
Yeah, it makes you wonder who's inside them making that noise. I remember we had a guy, his name was Isidro, and he came all the way from San Diego. And whenever he would fall asleep, these demons would start coming out of him, and they spoke in Hungarian. It was weird. He didn't speak one thing of Hungarian, but they were able to detect that he was speaking Hungarian when he went to sleep, and these demons were talking to him. It was really creepy.
I'm skeptical, but I wonder when, like, somebody starts speaking, like, Latin and, like, has no exposure to that language, it really, really opens your eyes.
Yeah, I remember I was under hypnosis once, and this woman hypnotized me and told me that she wanted me to, channel these spirits. And I channeled a French guy, and I spoke French, and I never spoke French in my life.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I wish I still had the tapes, but I listened back to them, and they scared me so much that I got rid of them.
So you were talking like fluent French, and you know,
yeah, fluent French, fluent French.
That's wild. That might make me a believer. Yeah. Like, because I tried to learn German, and that was extremely difficult. And to come out just one day after hypnosis and speak a different language—that's crazy.
Well, apparently, there have been people that have had strokes that they have a stroke and immediately speak a different language. And now,
so how does that work? I mean,
I have no idea.
So
but
strange.
Yeah, there have been. I was watching. I was watching 911, the TV show, and this woman had called 911, and she had a British accent, and she was saying that she needed help or something. I don't know what it was. She said she was having headaches and everything, I don't know who it was, but they said, your wife, is she okay? The guy says, that's not my wife. It's not her speaking, because she was in the door locked the door, and she's speaking a British accent, and he says, that's not my wife. My wife is not from England. Come to find out she was having a stroke, and it made her have a British accent. It's weird.
Oh, strange. Wow.
Well, there is a hidden world, though, that I guess we can't really experience at all times, and it pops through, and that's really weird. Our brains and the universe are amazing places, and yeah, that's wild.
Well, it's just, you know, do good for the world, do good for mankind, and leave a good footprint, and just help people. Yeah, that's all we can do. And
let me read you what it says on the internet. It says, when people speak a foreign language after a stroke, it's called bilingual aphasia. When they speak with a foreign accent, it's called foreign accent syndrome. A stroke occurs when a certain region of the brain is no longer supplied with blood. So, yeah, strokes can make people speak a different language.
That's interesting.
Bilingual aphasia.
Wow. I got to look into that because that's truly fascinating. Like, it makes you wonder if our brains, our consciousness are connected to some universal thing and we're channeling different languages or some weird thing.
Yeah.
Well, Sherry, it looks like we only got a few minutes left.
Yep. Yes. Yes, we do. And it was really good to have a really good conversation. Inside. Awesome.
Well, yeah, I had a lot of fun and looking forward to hooking up on Wednesday. I hope we have a very satisfying meeting with Dr. Heldor. It'll be a lot of fun. And, happy Halloween to everybody. I mean, it's a cold Halloween this year.
It'll be cold, but hopefully it won't rain too bad.
I don't think it's going to rain. I just think it's going to be bloody cold. It's going to be like, hey, you Spider-Man, you're going to wear a jacket with your Spider-Man costume.
I hope it snows. I want a white winter. I want to see a ton of snow.
A white Halloween.
That would be even better, yeah. When does winter start? I don't even know. I don't know the seasons.
I think it starts in December of 20, the 21st of December. Or maybe November.
Right.
I don't know.
Jeez. Well,
all I know is that by the first week in November, we're going to see the darkness at 4 in the afternoon. That's not going to be fun.
No. I don't know why they changed it in the first place. They should leave it alone.
Well, it'll get darker anyway, but I just don't like the idea of at 4 o'clock I have to get out in my car in the dark and drive in rush hour traffic in the dark. It's not fun.
Yeah, it's not. I'd rather have it, whatever time zone it is right now instead of having to go fall back. But, maybe change it. They're thinking about changing it. I don't know. What is it? Arizona is the only place? Hawaii and Arizona is the only two states.
Yeah, I think people are getting tired of it. We don't need it anymore, really. But
we don't.
Because back when we were farmers, we needed it. But now we don't need it anymore.
No.
So, Clyde, how do people tune into your shows and do you have any pages and stuff like that?
Yeah, live. From 7 to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday Pacific time, they can go to groundzero.radio and listen there. We have a constant feed of Ground Zero shows and also other shows like the Secret Teachings and a few other guest hosts are on as well. Into the Prayer Abnormal with Jeremy Scott. We have so many other great things. If you want to hear Ground Zero shows, past, present, whatever, all you got to do is just go to aftermath.media. Subscribe today. It's less than a cup of coffee for the basic, less than a pizza for the premium. So sign up today. You listen to some of our past shows. You'll really be entertained. It's more than just a website. It's like Ground Zero Plus with all kinds of cool stuff.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come back on our little podcast, and really appreciate it. And it's always a joy to get you on.
Thank you, and looking forward to doing more of these types of shows. And I'm off to see Five Nights at Freddy's, so get scary.
Oh. Right on.
Ooh, hey, we'll catch all up right on Wednesday. I'll get your feedback on that show.
All right, take care.
All right, thanks,
take care. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You bet.
I'll see you later. Mahalo. So it was good. Good to have Clyde back. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just put myself in before we go out and get ready and go to eat. I'm going to have dinner. So my name is Sherry, and if I take medium, Sherry, if you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me on Facebook, Psychic Medium Sherry, C-H-E-R-I, or you can get a hold of me on my website, which is www.psychicmediumsherry.com, or you can get a hold of me on Paranormal Horizons. So anyway, that's my plug-in.
Well, I don't have a plug-in, but I do have Red Baron personal pizzas I think I'm going to throw in the oven and indulge in some healthy Sunday food. So so we're gonna have Ron Patton in a few weeks, is that correct?
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Cool.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, just a reminder, we are remote, we're not together, so there's a delay, that's why we sometimes talk over each other. So he's the one I should talk to about getting on Clyde's show, right? Because he's Clyde's producer.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. I think I need to finagle my way into Clyde's because I'm sure my UFO stuff would be very interesting.
I'm sure they would like to hear your story. That would be so cool.
Very
all
cool.
Right. We're just everybody take care, be safe. Halloween's coming. Just like I said, just be safe and just have a good weekend. Have a good weekend. Weekend's coming up next weekend. This is a weekend right now, right?
Yes.
Next week,
stay away from those Ouija boards. Don't be playing with the dark forces of the Ouija boards.
Yeah, just got to be careful. You got to be very mindful. Like Clyde said, you got to have rules and your intent and have your protection up and everything.
Absolutely. So we will be back next Sunday, 7 p.m. West Coast time, for either a live or pre-recorded show. And hope everybody stays safe and has a fantastic week. Good night, everyone.
Yeah, take care, everybody. Peace. Love and peace.
Love and peace. Good night.